You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek of WacoBusinessNews.com, and I'm so excited to welcome reality TV star Clint Harp to the program. You've undoubtedly seen him on Fixer Upper and possibly his new show, Woodwork. We'll talk about the rise of Magnolia, his relationship with Chip and Joe, and how family always comes first at Harp Design Company. But before we get to that, it's the word on the street. Activating the Brazos has long been a goal of the city of Waco. It's one reason why they earmarked over $20 million for the Brazos Riverfront development. But even without the help of city funding, one entrepreneurial couple is doing their job to make the river a part of Wacoans' everyday lives. Next Saturday, Ross and Beth Harris will officially launch Waco Paddle Company, their fleet of kayaks, canoes, and stand-up paddleboards for rent at University Parks in Franklin.
Even before Waco Paddle Company was, I've been a part of getting a previous store called Outdoor Waco up and running, which had been bought by Bicycle World about 2.5 years ago. We had started, you know, doing kayak rentals on the water, stand-up paddleboards on the water, and had seen it grow. And 6 to 8 months ago, the ownership of Bicycle World decided that they were interested in selling the kayak water rental business. And so having been involved in it from kind of the beginning, you know, I got really excited, talked with Beth, and she was really excited about the prospect of doing this.
One thing for me is I was staying at home with our son at the time, but I had just gotten to the point he was a year and a half old, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll look for some part-time work or something to get involved in Waco. And that's when this prospect came up, and I got excited. I was an outdoor recreation major at Baylor and had been working for 5 years at the Methodist Children's Home before I stayed at home with our son, and I was the recreation director there. So, and I love being outdoors. I love being on the water. And so for me, it was a good fit also. So something I could be a part of, but I could do some work from home, but our family could be a part of what's going on with the growth of Waco. So that's what got me excited about it. And getting to share that experience with other people and getting to see them go out and enjoy the outdoors and have an experience all on their own. Paddleboards are take a little bit more balance than canoes or kayaks. And so I think anyone can try it out and enjoy it. And you can try it out standing up, but if you need to, you can always get on your knees or sit down. So if you are, if you're not able to balance as well as some other people, then you can still enjoy it other ways. But it's definitely fun to get out and try.
We want to be good stewards of the river that we use and just good community members. So we try just support various community efforts, such as, you know, we've provided boats to Keep Waco Beautiful's river cleanups. We've worked in the past and hope to continue working with, you know, races and events that go on here in downtown that draw people into our city and that, you know, serve various local, you know, nonprofits and ministries and things like that. And so, you know, those are kind of additional things that we see as just a big value that we want to provide to people and provide to be a benefit to the overall city and community.
Ross is the senior corporate buyer for Bicycle World, which had previously owned and operated boat rentals from the Brazos. Todd Berenger, owner of Bicycle World, has made waves since selling his boat business to Ross and Beth, doubling down on his cycling and running businesses. He's moving Bicycle World one block over on University Parks to Mary Avenue, where the company will take a larger space in a new venture from Shane Turner's Lucra Real Estate. I can think of at least one person who will be excited by the expansion of Waco Running Company. Clint Harp can often be found jogging around Sanger Heights near Harp Design Company, and if you watched the premiere of his show Woodwork, you had the pleasure of seeing him in some really cute running shorts. He walks into the shop showing a little more high thigh than his employees bargained for, and it's just one of the many hilarious moments that highlights Clint's goofy personality. Clint, I'm so happy to have you here on Downtown Depot. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history and how you ended up here in Waco?
Sure. So I came out here for the first time in 1996 as a freshman at Baylor University. And well, I guess actually the very first time was somewhere around 1995 when I came out to visit and stepped out.
And where were you living? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I went to Dunwoody Baptist Church, and there were a lot of connections actually between Baylor and the church that I grew up at.
The Baptist connection there?
Yeah, sure. And actually there was a pastor, he used to pastor, I believe, at Calvary out here, Calvary Chapel, or I forget the name of it, but it was Jim Johnson. And he was pastor here in Waco at Calvary, and then he moved out to Dunwoody and became the pastor out there. And that was one of the first times I learned about about Baylor.
Okay.
You know, it was through him because he became our pastor. And but a lot of people, yeah, in my church had, you know, either gone to Baylor or were going to Baylor, and that's kind of how I found out about it all the way over in Atlanta. Everybody's like, how in the world did you end up in Waco? And it's like, well, there's just a direct connection, you know. And so I went out, I think somewhere around 1994 or 1995, I can't remember, visited Baylor, and I mean, I stepped out. It was a beautiful spring day, and the sun was just shining, blue skies, and there was Pat Neff, you know, and it was just like angels singing. It was like, okay, I got to go here. You know, this is where I'm going to college.
Did you look much outside of the campus, or were you really just focused? This is the school and the rest of the city. Because I know in Waco in 95, 96 was markedly different than how it is right now.
Yeah, I didn't. It's funny. I ended up, when I came here, I was very involved with the community because I worked with K-Life Ministries my entire time while I was here.
Okay.
And so I actually got to know the community very, very well. And it is absolutely different from back then. I mean, I was here when there really, I think, like the Dollar Theater was basically it, you know. And now we have the two mega theaters, you know, the 16-screen theaters on, you know, Franklin and up in Woodway. And I was here when that first theater on Franklin was built.
Wow.
You know. And that was like a huge deal. I mean, that was massive, you know. So yeah, I mean, I came to Waco when Waco was a much smaller city, way less going on. Of course, Floyd Casey was where we were playing football at the time and all that stuff. So yeah.
What were some of your favorite haunts when you were a college kid?
Just places to go.
Yeah, like places you like to hang out, go grab a burger. What were those?
I went to Chili's.
You know, so the whole act local push wouldn't really happen.
No, and I hate it because, you know, like health camp, cups, you know, places like VTX when it was just a little shack.
Yeah, before the expansion.
Right. You know, like places like that. Literally, I never went to those places. What's the place? Ketox?
Yeah.
Never went there.
I mean, they don't have Facebook pages for you to
right.
log on and remember that they exist. So
right.
you're really living in a pretty small circle if you don't have the internet.
Absolutely. So I'm listening to, you know, people that have gone here before me, you know, back in Atlanta, and they're like, yeah, you need to go to this place. It's called Cups. And it was like, how do you find it? I don't know. You know, I mean, I didn't know where it was. I never went to those places. And now, of course, that's where you want to go. That's,
sure.
I mean, you know, you want to go to the hole-in-the-wall barbecue places and burger joints and all that stuff. And
man, that was such a different time when it just used to be hearsay. Hey, man, they got the best onion rings right around the corner.
Right.
And now you log on. I can't make a decision without logging on to Yelp.
Yeah.
It's so difficult for me. I get hit with decision paralysis every time because
yeah.
there's so many good options. And
yeah.
I do feel like when you were here in Waco and the – college days, it was a simpler time.
It was a much simpler time. There were very few restaurants. You know, we had, you know, the few cafeterias on campus. I was even before the days where, like, you know, now they're like making pasta and omelets for you right in
front
of
your
face. Yeah,
you got Chick-fil-A on campus.
Yeah, all this jazz. I mean, that was big time. So, you know, now then yeah, it was definitely, it was a much, much simpler time, and it was a fun time. And it was a fun time for me to get to know Waco, because now I think, you know, everybody sees it, and they're all super excited about it, and they should be, because Waco is, like, growing and turning into this, like, really cool thing. But I'm glad that I knew it before, you know, because I can really appreciate how far it's come.
Absolutely. And you and I had a strange connection.
We
maybe
did.
15 years ago now,
yes.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point after you left Waco, you moved to Dallas, and you lived in my friend Robert and Maggie Murkison's back house.
That's right.
And you babysat me as a middle schooler with
yes.
all the crazy Murkison kids.
I
you
know.
And Kelly living
I know.
In the back house.
It was funny. I mean, remember, I came to Pocio's that time, and you were like, Clint. It's
and
me, Austin.
It was crazy. You had fallen off the map for me. I had heard you were living in Paris. I had never seen Fixer Upper before. And
right.
I was like, what is this guy doing here? Why are people taking pictures of me with this guy?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. And you're like, remember we used to play basketball together with Daniel Murkison at the Murkison's house? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's you. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Clint, remember when you used to dunk on me mercilessly when I was a fifth grader?
Thank you for saying that I dunked. Obviously, that's not true.
Oh, 8-foot rims, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, great. So, yeah, that was a funny connection because we, you know, I graduated and I met Kelly in my senior year. And then from there, we moved out to St. Petersburg, Florida. And I did a bunch of different jobs out there. And, we met some people that were going to Paris as church planners, and so we bought into that idea. So we moved back to Dallas after living in St. Pete for a while, maybe like a year and a half or so, and we moved back to Dallas to raise support to move over to Paris, and that's why we were living at the Murkison's house. And so, which we had got connected with them through a friend of mine that I had met, and he and his family here in Waco, when I worked with K-Life, they were just a Waco family. And this guy, Jordan, who's a good friend of mine still to this day, he lived in their house in Dallas before me. And so when I was moving back to Dallas looking for a place to live, he was like, hey, you need to call the Murkisons. I mean, everything is connected, you know. It's really funny how it all works like that. But so we moved back to Dallas and raised support, and we moved over to Paris. We lived in the Netherlands for like 3 months. It's The Hague.
And was this through Antioch?
No. We were not a part of them. We went through this organization, Christian Associates International.
Okay.
And and so that's who we, you know, connected with. And actually, there's a guy that used to, and I'm gonna flub his last name here, but it's Dudley, and I can't remember what his last name is. But he used to do like, what it was, Touchstone, or there was a big Bible study out here for Baylor for college students, and Dudley was the head of that ministry or something at some point. Anyways, now he's the president at Christian Associates, ironically enough, yeah. But anyway, so we went with this organization out to Paris, and they were really not even connected to a church, but they were, you know, planting churches in Europe. And so we lived in the Netherlands for like 3 months.
Is this before children?
This is before children, yep. And we were on like a 5-year plan that we wanted to wait 5 years before we had kids.
Those 5-year plans always work out, don't they?
They did, and ours did, man.
Wow,
it was
congrats.
Great. Yeah, we stayed strong. And so we moved over there, lived in the Netherlands for 3 months, and then we moved to Paris and lived there for about a year. Ran out of money. It's incredibly expensive over there. Came back to Dallas and started working again, and did that for about 3 or 4 years. Then at that point, that's when the whole kid discussion started to, you know, pop up.
Okay. And then you got to Waco at what point in that sequence?
Well, so the kid thing was the thing that sort of made me grow up really fast, because I was like, okay, if I'm going to have a kid, I kind of feel like I need to have a big boy job, you know. And in my mind, that meant a job that where I wasn't hourly, I was salary, that I had like actual benefits, I had, you know, vacation time, because the job that I had at the time was not, it didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking I needed all that stuff. So there's a couple things that I knew I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do sales. I had tried that and really didn't like it. And I was good at it, but I didn't really want to do it. And I didn't want to move to Houston. So sorry to all you Houston people out there. I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. I grew up in Atlanta, and we always hated the Astros. And so, you know, it's just like I never want to move to Houston.
Of course.
And it's just a huge city, and, you know, Dallas is big enough. And so I didn't want to go there. So I called a friend of mine. He's in the healthcare industry, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I could get a job there. At the time, I was a director of operations at a licensing firm. So I was thinking maybe I could find something like that. And he said, well, I don't have anything like that, but I do have a sales job that just opened up in our Houston branch. And I was like, ugh, you know, like, no, I don't want to move to Houston. But then he said, it's six figures. And, you know, like within the first year, you'll be making six figures and 401k, health insurance and all that. And I was like, go Astros, man. Let's do it. You know, let's get down there.
90% of what you're looking for.
Exactly, exactly. So we moved down to Houston and lived there for 4 years. And it was that time where things began to fall apart for me personally, just because I was so far away from, I think, who I was meant to be and what I was supposed to do. Incredibly happy with my marriage. At that time, we had our son. We moved to Houston with a four-month-old son, Hudson, our first child. And all that was great, but, you know, I was waking up and doing something every day that I hated to do.
Yeah.
So at some point in that time, about 2 years in, I met a mentor, or a guy that would become my mentor, and I ended up meeting with him for every other Monday for about 2 years straight. And I would just meet with him, you know, like lunch or something like that, and we would just talk at a Starbucks. And in that process, really kind of learned to dig into my life and try and figure out what is actually going on. What do I want to do with my life? And he really helped me just kind of peel away a lot of layers and get down to the bottom of a lot of stuff. And
what was that bottom layer? What did you find there right at the core that you knew, this is what I have to be doing?
No exaggeration here. The thing that kept coming up, it was furniture. I was like, I need to build furniture.
Wow.
I need to create a company and just own my own business and build furniture. And it sounded so stupid. And my mentor was like, no, it's not stupid. You know, if that's inside you, then you need to do it.
Why was that coming up? Did you had a history with that? Your grandfather was a home builder?
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, my grandfather back in Atlanta, he was a home builder. And you can trace the parts of my personality back to, like, my grandfather's and my mom's side and my dad's side. So, like, any part of me that is able to get up and speak in front of people or, you know, be extroverted and you know, good in front of people or whatever.
I'll say it, a reality TV star.
Okay, all right, well, or that. That comes from my dad's side.
Okay.
You know, my dad was a jokester. My grandfather, Donald Harp, that was his name. You know, he was a square dance caller and kind of the life of every party. And
wow.
So everybody loved him, super nice guy. He was the greeter at church, you know. And, like, I mean, he was awesome. And on my mom's side, my granddad, he built. That's what he did. He had his own business. He built houses, and he worked all the time, and he was very handy and just knew how to get things done. That all came from him. It's just very direct, you know, like I know exactly where those parts of me came from. And I was always around my grandfather, Werner, my mom's dad, and, you know, he let me work with tools that I had no business working with at probably like 10 years old, 9 years old. But he gave me a confidence, you know, by letting me do that at such a young age, I had like this confidence that I could do whatever I wanted to do, mm-hmm. you know, and I could figure something out. And so, yeah, that's why I had that in me. It's a very real thing inside of me that, like, I like to build things. And it doesn't even have to be furniture. It can be a business. It can be a lot of different things, but I love to build.
There's the sweet story of you connecting with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Sure.
You know, you had maybe been a little bit discouraged about this path that you were going to take.
Yep.
Chip takes you in his truck. You go and pick up your tools.
Right.
You get an office space from Habitat for Humanity for pennies on the dollar that
right.
they let you work out of.
Right.
How has your relationship with Chip and Joanna matured and evolved since you met with them? When was that? 10 years ago?
It was 2012 actually.
I didn't realize it was that.
Yeah, because I moved here in 2000.
This has been a meteoric rise. That was 2012 when
yeah.
you first connected with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I met Chip at a gas station in like February or March or something like that of 2012, and in October, November of that same year, he and Joanna and I were filming the pilot together. I mean, they were filming, you know, their pilot, and I was doing my part as the carpenter,
sure.
you know, on the show. And I mean, that was eight months after we met.
Wow.
So, but what's cool about our relationship, you know, my relationship with Chip and Joe, it's kind of like Waco and how I knew Waco before, and now I know Waco the way it is now.
Mm.
And it's the same with Chip and Joe. A lot of people ask me, you know, about my relationship with them, and I tell them that the thing I treasure the most are the stories that you'll never see on TV and the memories that I have with them for a very short period of time. But they were very real and raw moments that we were all having together, because at the time, Chip and Joe were going through a lot themselves and, you know, trying to make things work. And Joanna's, you know, working hard as a designer, and Chip's working hard as a general contractor, and they got all these different projects out there, and Joanna's trying to get, you know, a little home goods line off the ground, and it wasn't easy. I mean, it was hard. Not a lot of people were coming to Waco, and you know, the business she was drumming up a lot of business, but I mean, you know, now people are just, you know, obviously flocking to Waco. Back then, you know, you had It was tough sledding.
It's sort of like y'all were all in a fraternity or a sorority.
Absolutely.
Going through pledging.
Absolutely.
And you can never recreate those moments that you had with those people.
There was a time when, you know, that shop, that Habitat for Humanity, they had rented out to me, and Joanna was coming over to look at some furniture, to kind of check up on some stuff that I was doing. And I threw, you know, like, planning her coming over, we were like, why don't we just have everybody come over, we'll have lunch together, you know. And so, like, Kelly brought the kids, and Chip came over, and he had bought, you know, sandwiches at Schmaltz's or something, and we all sat there, and the back of my shop, the garage door was open, and I remember, like, the kids were sort of running around in the back part of my shop, and Chip and Joanna and Kelly and I were just, like, sitting there on the floor because I didn't have enough chairs for everybody or anything.
You hadn't made chairs for everyone?
I know. And we were just kind of staring out the back of my shop. And I think we all just sort of had almost, like, this feeling of, like, you know, what are we doing? What is happening? You know, like, is this going to work? I know, you know, Chip and Joe were in the process of buying the land where their, you know, house sits on, you know, now, the farm. And that was a big ordeal. It was a very hard decision for them to make, you know. It was a big leap. And, of course, Kelly and I had taken our big leap to, you know, quit a six-figure job and just jump into the garage and start this business, Harp Design Co., and try this thing. And so we were all kind of just, like, in this, like, place of, like, what is going to happen? Like, what have we done, you know? And that day that I met Chip at the gas station, I was having that moment, too, of, like, you know, what have I done? You know, like, have I made the biggest mistake of my life by quitting a six-figure job? Things were really comfortable, Austin. Mm. You know, like, what was I thinking? And, you know, those are the kind of things that bond you together with people, you know? And so as things move forward and Chip and Joe are busy and I'm busy and now we only kind of see each other filming and whatnot, you can't take away that connection that we have and those memories, because nobody was around when that was happening.
Yeah.
That was back in the day. And, you know, when Chip and I had barbecue or catfish or something, it was catfish at World Cup Cafe. And this was right before the pilot aired. And we just kind of had this discussion of, like, you know, what if they don't pick it up? You know, what if the show does not get picked up? And we both were just talking about how, like, you know, if it doesn't, at least we got to do this.
Sure.
And how many people even get to do this? And we just literally had no idea what was going to happen. And then, of course, it just took off like a rocket.
Wow. Well, you're listening to Downtown Depot here on 103.3 KWBU-FM. I'm your host, Austin Meek, speaking with Clint Harp. Clint has gotten enough success from regular appearances on the Fixer Upper show that he's been able to parlay that not only into a successful Harp design company woodworking business here in Waco, but into his own pilot show.
Right.
Your show Woodwork premiered on the DIY Network last week. It's going to be airing again on the 26th of March at 6:30 p.m. Walk us through how that whole process got started with the pilot. Was it just showrunners seeing how great you were on Fixer Upper, and then they wanted to parlay that success?
Well, I mean, it started with I got some calls from folks at the network who were, you know, involved in, you know, Fixer Upper, obviously. And they said, hey, we'd like to maybe do some online material with you. And so I'm like, yeah, great, let's do it. So that's kind of where it started. We did some very simple online stuff, and it honestly was not, like, great at all. It was really difficult. to do, and it was cold when we filmed it, and we didn't have a lot of direction. You know, it was just a very, it was just like, we just kind of threw some stuff together. We ended up redoing all of that. Again, they made some online content, and it went well, you know, and there was enough there that the network was like, hey, let's, you know, plus all the stuff from Fixer Upper, they're like, let's take this a little farther, you know? So they made what's called a sizzle. Chip and Joe made a sizzle. Everybody that gets a show or gets a chance at a show, you make a sizzle, which is like a 5-10 minute little commercial of what a show might look like. So we made a sizzle and sent that to the network. They were like, great, we'd love to give you a shot at a pilot now. So I was like, okay, awesome. So we shot our first pilot. We actually shot 2 episodes, and that was the show that was called Against the Grain.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and that went well, but it really wasn't who we are. They wanted us to kind of work in backyards and do some projects outside and all that stuff. And so we did it, because if you get a shot at something like this, Austin, you just take it. It doesn't matter. If they want you to do a show about, you know, butterflies, you know, it's like, sure, great, I'll be there, whatever. And so we took that opportunity, we did it, and we shot 2 episodes, and the network saw it, and they loved them, but they were like, we really want this to be about his shop. So let's take those 2 episodes and combine them and make 1 episode called Against the Grain and go from there. So that's what they did. But it was mainly me. There was very little of Kelly in there, which is a big mistake.
One of the things I loved about Woodwork is that your family's so involved. You've got Hudson there making a candlestick with you.
Yes.
Kelly is featured prominently.
Yeah.
And it really shows that the crux of Harp Design Company is the relationships in the community.
Absolutely. Because the thing is that, like, once Against the Grain aired, it was received well and all that, but then the network said, we want to make a new pilot. We want to make this one like what it's supposed to be, which is a show about your shop, about your team, about you and your wife and the work y'all are doing together. Because make no mistake, Austin, I may be the face of Harp Design Co., and I get that. My wife is, you know, 50% owner with me. She works her butt off. And not only that, but she is mom and manager of our household. She keeps everything running. Mm-hmm. And so a show about Harp Design Co. without her is a waste of time. That doesn't make sense. And then a show without, Britt Duke and Andrew and Marcus and Joel and Billy and John and Demi and Maddie and Annie and all these, you know, all these different folks that are like helping make this thing happen. Like, you know, we've got Kristen who runs our storefront. You know, she keeps that thing going because we have our little storefront now at our shop where people come and shop. We only have 800 square feet. You got to turn that thing over constantly. And so Kristen works with Kelly really hard to keep that thing going and up to date so that when people come in, they have a good experience. Well, a show without her and like all these different people, it doesn't make sense because Harp Design Co. is a whole team of people making this thing happen. And you know, I started the business with Kelly, and I started building furniture. But now because I have a team of people, they help me take it to the next level because I can't do that on my own.
Mm.
And I think I want that message to get across to people because I think it's so important to find people that you trust and you love and that you can work with and, you know, trust them to help you take things to the next level. The more you do that, I think the more things take off.
Well, I think that that's such a wise way to play it is recognizing that you're not the only one who's contributing and the fact that your coworkers and your partners recognize how much you value them makes them want to put in extra work and they really want to work hard for you and build that brand. So congratulations on the ascent of Harp Design Company.
It's been
so much fun to watch you guys as you continue to grow. And of course, Woodwork. It was a really great premiere. It will be airing again on the DIY Network on March 26th at 6:30 p.m. Clint, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Oh, man. Awesome. Thanks for having me. I loved it. It was great.
All right. Well, that's what we got for today. We got to wrap up here, but be sure to follow Waco Business News on Facebook and Twitter for all your local business updates in between shows. And if you're feeling particularly generous or if you're a fan of Clint's and you want to support him and support me, why don't you head on over to the iTunes store? You might be listening to this on the podcast app. You can subscribe to Downtown Depot. Rate it, write a review, share it with your friends. Now, I'm your host, Austin Meek. You've been listening to Downtown Depot here on KWBU 103.3, Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.